Hi everybody, this is Scott Callan. Thank you so much for joining. I'm in a mask with a few colleagues here, so hopefully you can hear me through the muffled mask. I'm working off of a presentation that's on our website, FY212 Q3 Corporate Presentation. So let's go to it. Starting on page 8, you can see the summary of activities year to date. It's been a very tough year. Despite that, you know, everything that's going on in the world, we can have a very durable earnings model with our stock earnings running at about double our fixed expenses. We continue to be structurally profitable. Stock earnings, so those are the relatively fixed contractually earnings that are at the core of our business. The drop-off in sustainable real estate is affected entirely from hotel rental income having fallen off. The drop-off in asset management is, again, fees off of our hotel REIT. And we have an uptick in clean energy, which continues to grow pretty well. We did the first time ever in Japan for a real estate company financing under the UN Principles for Positive Impact. Ichigo Owners continues to grow. We announced today under share buyback, and I'll talk to that later in the presentation. Looking at page 9. COVID impacts, and we've touched on this before, so I'll go relatively quickly through. As I mentioned, a decrease in the Ichigo Hotel asset management fees, really no impact on Ichigo Office and Ichigo Green. Sustainable real estate we've had some partial recovery in the hotel rental income, but that's been the place that's been overwhelmingly the biggest impact. We have a mix of fixed rents and variable rents. We're not receiving variable rents at this point in time. Most people expect to see something more negative on retail, and that actually really hasn't happened. Our retail assets have held in very well. That's in part because we've got a mix of retail that includes both things like restaurants that are relatively Amazon-proof but not COVID-proof, but also supermarkets, drugstores, you know, that have done relatively well under COVID. So the impact of those together is kind of an offset. Residential assets have done very well as income producers, and they're the source of the key activity in terms of generating revenues out of the sustainable real estate business in terms of capital gains. But the big drop-off in sustainable real estate SRE for us has been we've held off selling assets. No need to, a lot of kind of fear and confusion out there, other than the place that we're active that has continued to be very, very strong, which is residential. Clean energy, no impacts at all. Growth is very much on track. Turning to COVID countermeasures, we've touched on this before. It's a broad effort on our part to support our tenants through a very, very difficult time period, and that's across all asset types, office, hotels, retail, residential. We're a big company with resources. Our ability to work for tenants is really important, and we have dedicated ourselves to that over the last year. Page 11 shows the economic results. As I said, very difficult year. OP is down 66%, EPS is down 70%. That's on stock earnings dropping about 20%, floor earnings dropping 72%, and some push down in our SG&A, but not enough to cover kind of this drop-off. Turning to page 12, you can see the segment earnings details. A drop-off in asset management, OP down 44%. Again, that's primarily on activities, a drop-off in fees we earned in Ichigo Hotel REIT. And by the way, I mean, I say it's been a very tough year, and it has been for all of us. So thank you on the phone for joining. But we don't think there's been any change at all in terms of forward prospects of the firm. That's why we're buying back our stock today. So we're actually very positive. We're very positive we have ridden this out in a way that was, of course, important to all of our shareholders and our stakeholders. We have held off in selling assets that are valuable. We fully expect to be monetizing. So really what's happened is and we understand the time value of money. We prefer to have made the profits this year, but we've effectively just pushed profits out into the future, and we fully expect them to come back. Sustainable real estate's down very big, as I explained, 73% on OP. That's on a drop of flow earnings of about 60% and drop in stock earnings, so the kind of the more fixed earnings of 48%. You'll notice on the right-hand side that we're showing rental income after depreciation. You see depreciation has effectively doubled year on year, and that's actually very important. This is non-cash hit to earnings. Depreciation, as exists in most accounting regimes around the world, taxable depreciation is well above what economic depreciation is. Effectively, this is a tax shield, and so we are pushing. We actually pushing hard down on EPS to generate more cash that we can use for things like investments for growth, either growing earnings or buying back our stock if we think it's cheap, and we think it's cheap today. Clean energy is the one area it's grown, OP up 43% year on year. Again, you can see on the right-hand side, power generation revenue after depreciation. We've grown as we continue to grow this business. And one of the great things about the clean energy business is you have this very big depreciation that again, serves as a tax shield. So we're using that tax shield as effectively as we can for all of you, our shareholders. Page 13 shows a revised forecast. You can see on the bottom of the page, this is a very tough year. We did $27.7 billion of OP last year. We're forecasting this year to be at only 9.5. Again, we think that comes back, but that's, be very direct about not the kind of year that we all wanted to have. We started the year with a forecast on net income of $2 billion to $8 billion. We bumped it up to $3.5 billion to $8 billion. We're ending up with a forecast of about $5 billion. It gives us an ROE about 5 for a firm that aspires to and has delivered 15% ROE through the cycle. This is obviously well below what we expect and well below what we think is normalized for us. Moving to page 15 and speaking to some of the elements of the business model, you can see on page 15, it's a mixture of stock and flow earnings. You'll see that our fixed expenses are at $7.5 billion, which is up over time. Some of that is things like us sponsoring the J League, doing some more IT spend, and getting and building for growth. And if you separate out kind of those activities meant to build kind of intangible assets like brand, which we think are very, very valuable, we're really kind of running more like a pre-fiscal year 19-2 kind of cost structure. And we have some flexibility on it, should we need to push down more. But we think these investments are very valuable and will pay off for all of us going forward. Page 16 shows that we continue to grow kind of unrealized gains. These are appraisal value-based unrealized gains, meaning third-party appraisers look at our assets and tell us what they're worth. They think they're worth 66.2 billion above what it says on our balance sheet. So we have on our balance sheet says we have 100 billion yen of shareholder equity. The appraisers will tell you actually that's got 56 billion yen of gain, so it's 56% more than that. If you turn to page 17, in reality, the third party appraisers have been massively too low over time. We've generally generated 2 to 3x what the third party appraisers think. We're gonna generate in terms of the profitability on sales of assets off the balance sheet. If you look at the drop from 2.8x to 1.7x in terms of the multiple relative to the third-party appraiser's view is what the embedded value is in our balance sheet, that's fully a function of us shifting from selling kind of core multi-year value add to our Ichigo Owners business, which is generally a 6 to 8 month hold, very, very fast turnover. We run a lower gross margin on it. This year, we're running at a 12% gross margin out of Ichigo Owners. Typically, our multi-year core value add is going to be like a 30% gross margin. So there's no shift here at all in any way in the structural profitability of the business. It's just it's a mix effect that's important this year. As I said earlier, we're cash. We're well positioned from a cash perspective. There's just no reason for us to sell some of our assets that we've added value to in this environment. We're happy to wait to look to see what the future looks like post vaccine, post hopefully COVID, and hopefully post post meaning in the next kind of 12 to 18 months. Page 18 shows another key element of the business model. We generate real cash, robust cash generation that's well above. So our economic operating cash flow is well above our net income, and that's grown over time. Last year was a little bit of an exception. We came at 3.6x our net income because we had a non-cash write-down. That's not typical as of Q3. So the quarter reporting, we're at 1.8x this year. We probably end up for the full year 1.9 or 2x. But the point is that we generate substantial more cash than our accounting earnings, and that's valuable. Page 19 shows what's happening with our financing situation. We continue to borrow very long, very cheap, and COVID has not changed that. So we are a preferred borrower. For lenders, so 10.1 year average for long term right now at 90 basis points. Page 20, I touched on earlier, we were the first Japanese real estate company to borrow via syndicated loan program out of, and this is from SMBC, based on UN principles for positive impact. They did, SMBC did an evaluation of Ichigo and our activities and across the firm, the E, the S, and the G, and chose us to be the first bar from them as an example of a responsible and sustainable company, which we are very, very pleased with. Going to page 22 shows what's happened in the sustainable real estate business. We continue to be selective in acquisitions and sales. We're almost entirely operating within the Ichigo Owners business this year. So again, that's a very high turnover business. And the nice thing about that, it's a very uncertain market environment. It's proven to be less uncertain, actually. We thought there was going to be, you know, a lot worse going on. But, you know, Japan has actually ridden out COVID relatively well. We're in a state of an emergency right now in Tokyo right now, but still by global standards, we've done very, very well. And so the nice thing about the Ichigo Owners business is a fast turnover business. You can turn on a dime. And so we've emphasized activity in that business. So as you can see on the page, 54% of all assets we acquired this year were out of owners. If you exclude, as you know, we have a hotel brand, a boutique hotel brand called The Knot. If you exclude the two knots that we put up in Sapporo and Hiroshima this year, actually 80% of all our acquisitions were done out of owners, Ichigo owners. We continue to execute on acquisitions in owners, and we've got current inventory about 18 billion yen. We expect to grow that. Because it's a place where, you know, given how there's a shortage of yield in the world, given how strong residential performance has been in Japan, Japan has done a very good job of protecting wages and the population, the people. And so there are no significant arrears in residential housing in Japan. So it's been a great bond substitute. And the result is this is a massive demand for the asset. People are worried about hotels. People are worried about retail. People are worried about office. You know, what that has resulted is a surge in demand for logistics, which is an obvious place to be in a world where people are hunkering at home and residential in the case of Japan. So on the asset side, sales side, we sold 31 assets out of owners, so that's 90%. So 80% of, effectively 80% of our purchases and 90% of our sales have been out of owners. Turning to some of the activity, just to give you some sense of what we do in terms of value add, we spend a lot of time trying to understand you know, our tenant needs. That makes us very differentiated as a real estate owner. Most real estate owners don't want to meet the tenants. Most tenants don't want to meet the owners. So we work very hard to be an owner that the tenants actually want to be with. And meeting with tenants is really important to us. We learn kind of what their needs are and try to be responsive to them. So page 23 shows an example of what we call the Ichigo Layout Office. It's basically a pre-built out office in Japan. Both build out and returning to original condition is borne by the tenant, so it's very expensive and it's hard, especially on small tenants and startups. And so we pre-fitted out and use our economies of scale and our engineering to get something that is offers very good value for tenants. And the result of that is for example, that we put this Ichigo Layout office into the CTN building that we own in Chiyoda, which is in central Tokyo. And we took up the rent 2x1x. So from 11,000 yen per tsubo to 22,000 yen per tsubo. And that gives you a sense of kind of the value that we offer. I mean, even 22,000 yen per tsubo, so for us it's a double, but that's a very, very competitive rent for tenants in central Tokyo. And in this case, it means it frees them of all the kind of build out and take down costs should they ever exit. Page 24 shows another example of value add. You know, here is just, you know, we had an empty space in a hotel. It's a terrible time for restaurants, as you know. Despite that, the hotel has been doing reasonably well. We were able to work with a Korean restaurant to come in at 2.2x what the previous tenant was paying, and that included kind of putting our engineers to work to help them get the fit out done, you know, economically and fully compliant. We reworked the hotel floor plan to give them additional storage space. If you're getting the impression that we work very hard for our tenants, that's the impression I'm trying to convey, and it is actually accurate. And so, you know, we designed the lease with both a step-up rent so they can go in get them at lower costs at the beginning, and with a percentage rent so it decreases their economic risk. You know, we work very hard to try to do the right thing for our tenants in the world. And it's an example of, and it shows up in powerful economics. So this was rented out at 15 to 16,000 yen per tsubo. We're currently getting, after the step up, it'll be up to 37,000. Page 25 shows another example of value add that we've done. We've introduced, as you know, we have a boutique hotel brand. By the way, we spent a bunch of work in the last couple of years doing a lot more hotel hotels, which has, you know, very powerful growth characteristics. As Asia gets richer, it travels more. It travels more to Japan. Japan has done a huge amount of work to become more accessible in both in terms of flights and in terms of visas to Asian and global tourism. And of course, COVID comes, and then it kind of it blows a hole in it, at least temporarily. So anyway, but we've done a bunch of work on hotels. It's been a very, very successful area for us. We fully expect post-COVID it will be successful again. But we introduced a hotel brand called The Knot, which is a boutique brand. We have another hotel brand called The 1-5. It's interesting, in Japanese, whenever we describe this to people, no one ever points out that it's a pun, which I think is really amusing because it's such an obvious pun. Ichigo doesn't mean 1-5 in Japanese, but it could be said as 1-5. And so 1-5 is actually a reference to our company name using a pun. And this is kind of a lower price point with still high quality service. The problem with Japanese hotels is, despite Japan having the best restaurants on the planet, it has kind of these box-like, you know, low service level hotels, which is really kind of difficult to understand given how good Japanese service is. And so this is, we think, is a really nice offer. And as you can see, we took a hotel that had two different sections redesigned it, refurbished it, rebranded it. It's now the 1-5 Villa Fukuoka and the 1-5 Terrace in Fukuoka. You can see from the 1-5 Villa, which opened in February. And so despite kind of everything that's going on with COVID, occupancy is at 96%, RevPAR is at 16,000. By the way, these are very good numbers. So you know, things are going very, very well. And we fully expect to do, as I say, post-COVID, a lot more in the hotel space. Page 26 speaks to another activity. And broadly, we're trying to introduce content. We're trying to take assets that are going to break out of the box. So there's a building. Okay, that's super interesting. It's a building. What can you do with the building? Perhaps some of you know Akihabara, which is a major train station. It's kind of the major center of anime culture in Japan. Has this kind of like go-to kind of tower building, which we bought, called Akiba Culture Zone. We sponsored, and we have been, we started an anime studio and took one of Japan's leading anime directors, Mamoru Oshii, financed a brand new anime series called Vlad Love, And we're doing a bunch of things using that building with Vladlov, that anonymous content. And that's gone well, but quite honestly, again, COVID, you have all these events and you have these ambassadors and you have live shows and characters, and none of this is happening because we're in the midst of COVID. So the first episode of Vladlov is actually available for free on YouTube if you have any interest in looking at it, from one of Japan's great anime directors. But this has been kind of basically pushed out for 6 months to 12 months at least, to a kind of a post-COVID culture. Page 27 points to our two REITs and our solar listed solar power producer. The Ichigo Office and Ichigo Green have effectively not had any real COVID impact. The hotel has had a very serious COVID impact. We did put in supported debt of about 500 million yen, so it was small. Just to show a gesture to the banks that, yes, we're aware we're the sponsor of this hotel, and thank you for rolling all the financing at great terms, and we'll participate, again, to show as a supportive sponsor. Page 28 shows what's going on in the clean energy business, which, by the way, we're trying to figure out if we should call it a green energy business instead. I mean, back in the day, we were choosing between clean and green, and it increasingly feels like we've got a brand for our solar power producer called Ichigo Green, and the world is kind of calling stuff green instead of clean, so maybe we need to change the name of the segment. But it's scaling very rapidly, so continues to go very well with our first wind power plant expected to come on this year. And we're active, and I've talked about this before, potentially in genuinely green, good for the planet biomass that we're hopeful will be a growth driver for this business going forward. Page 29, I indicated earlier, we announced a share buyback today. We don't think today's earnings are at all normalized. Stock has come in quite a bit. We're trading well below breakup value. We think a lot of kind of operating value to the company, so we're going to be buying back the stock. Announced a 1.5 billion yen buyback today. That's about 1% of shares outstanding. So this will be the fourth year in a row we've bought about 3 billion yen. We bought 3 billion yen of our shares back, assuming we complete this transaction. And then on page 30, as you know, we have an ongoing J-League shareholder program, which is in many ways quite innovative. J-League has not been has not been nearly as active as we would expect, and there's been difficulty getting tickets to the fans. So we've actually had to substitute a whole bunch of other kinds of events for our shareholders. But we have been actively doing so, and that continues to be something that our shareholders across the broad Ichigo Group. So it's not just this company, Ichigo Inc. It includes Ichigo Office REIT, Ichigo Hotel REIT, and Ichigo Green. All the shareholders of those entities have been participating in this. So that's what I have in terms of presentation. Very, very interested in taking questions or feedback. To ask a question, you press star and then one. If you want to withdraw your question, press star then two. But happy to take anything from anybody. And again, thank you for joining us. So star and then one. Greg, I think the line's open for you.
Yes. Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. I had a quick question regarding your full year forecast. Hold on, let me find the page. But basically, when we look at your new full year forecast and the actual 9 months, for recurring profit, your implied Q4 recurring profit is, I think, 0.3 billion. Your implied OP is 1 billion. I was wondering where the difference comes from. Is there any kind of additional losses that you expect, or is it all kind of interest and others?
We have a little bit of a buffer in there, but it's going to be a light quarter, is our expectation. We've, as you know, the big drivers, in addition to kind of this stack of stock earnings we have, is the flow earnings we generate, and we expect to be quiet in the corner.
Understood. And just a follow-up question regarding the activity that you're seeing in the marketplace for hotels. How would you describe it over the past month, and what's your expectation regarding volume of transaction outside of Ichigo, but in the marketplace going into March? Are you seeing clearing prices? Are you looking at more opportunities into March if you see things? How would you describe that, please? Thank you.
And so, Greg, this is buy-sell activity in hotels, you mean?
This is to, yeah, to add to look for buying opportunities in the hotel space. Yeah.
You know, it's funny, and thank you so much, Greg. I mean, you're always with us. It's gonna break my heart if you're never on ever have a call and you don't join us. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful to you. Nothing really has changed in the last few months. I mean, it's been very quiet, as you know, because you're in Japan also. There's been a lot of frantic worry, not so much activity perhaps on Japan's rising COVID cases. We're currently in a state of emergency in Tokyo, and things have been very quiet. You know, having said that, so to the question of do we expect transaction activity to emerge, we do, because it's just getting harder and harder for some operators to persist through this. As you know, we've picked up operating contracts at Hakata Hotels, which I mentioned earlier. We have the new brand called 1-5, and we bought a hotel operator early last year. It's up to, I think it's, is it 15 hotels, and eight of them are branded as 1-5 hotels. No, 13 hotels, and eight of them are 1-5 hotels, and we think we're probably going to do more of that. And it's quite possibly the case that we can end up doing some hotel acquisitions. But you know, the problem is none of us want to step in front of a train. And the good news is the vaccines seem to have taken out, you know, and let me know if you think I'm wrong on this, a lot of the kind of the tail risk on there's no solution to COVID. So it certainly feels easier for us to step into a situation. The other thing I would point out is our Prepara hotel revenue management system continues to expand its footprint, and that's going very, very well. So we do think we're advantaged in driving higher profitability from hotels from pretty much almost all of our peers. But at the moment, there's not, obviously I wouldn't be able to provide you material non-public information, but there's not a lot kind of that's happening right now in terms of hotel buys and sells.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Craig. Happy to take a question or input from anybody. Again, it's star than one. Richard, the line's open. Thank you so much.
Oh, hi, Scott. So with regards to the share buyback, so did you complete the previous one?
Yes. So we did it.
Okay.
We did a buyback at the half. We're doing another buyback today.
Okay. And so you set the price to buy back the shares with an executing broker. Is it also possible to adjust it if the shares spike up, or so how do the instructions typically work? So is there accelerated buyback if the shares move down, or is this like a volume weighted thing?
It's more volume weighted. I mean, one has to be very, very careful. I mean, so the way this works is the reason we get safe harbor from being in the stock is by handing over the execution entirely to a trust bank or a broker. But you should feel pretty confident. You should feel very confident that we'll get this done. There's been one case where the full amount wasn't executed during the buyback period, and then we just relaunched the buyback. So we fully expect to get this purchase completed.
Okay. Maybe a follow-on question on the hotel business. So you bought some operating contracts, and so I understood that you converted those to 5-1 hotels. And looking forward in the next few years, so how many hotels do you expect to acquire, or what do you see as like an optimal number of hotels?
You know, that's a good question. We actually go back and forth on this. I mean, the great thing about hotels is they have a significant amount of kind of available growth, which is not just Japanese domestic travel growth, but inbound growth, which is great. That's the good news. The second bit of good news is that it's actually an underperforming asset class, and so there's an opportunity to add value. The third good news is that unlike offices, where it's harder to add value, the L's are very operational assets, so if you're good at what you're doing, you can do more. So that's all the good news. The bad news is it is the single most volatile asset. Right, because you price hotels daily, and so it has the most economic sensitivity. So, we've actually been managing, and we have data on our total portfolio. Let me find what page that is in the presentation. On page 50, you can see our real estate portfolio. Hotels are 26%. We've actually wanted them to be no more than 25. For the very reason, we didn't predict COVID, but if something goes horribly wrong, it's hotels where you take the biggest impact. So which is a way of saying that our primary desire, actually, to be very, very clear, is we think we will do more in terms of the not boutique hotels. We will do more in the 1-5. But the real place we want to drive a lot of activity is our Propera AI system, which we have begun selling externally. It's a platform business. We expect to get 1% of total sales. So it's just kind of there's huge returns of scale to it. It's a big business. It is also an example of us taking dynamic pricing into the hotel space. There are lots of places. So when I say dynamic pricing, it's obviously not just for hotels. An obvious example of another place where you have surges in demand and you want to try to optimize and load balance using dynamic pricing. I mean, everyone knows is a way of kind of things like airlines, but in the Japan case and a real estate example, karaoke is another place where you have this huge surge activity and dynamic pricing would be very, very interesting. We're involved with the J League, dynamic pricing for stadium events, et cetera, et cetera. So what we like a lot about this business is we've developed a core IT platform built on significant capability and expertise in hotels. We think it is broadly able to expand it into other areas that, again, have a real estate angle, but ultimately we could take into kind of the broader world. And so that's where – and we had a board meeting today, and we actually spoke at length about – kind of our ambitions for the Propera IT platform and this business, and I think it's one of the most exciting things that we're doing.
Okay, so then you can leverage basically your expertise via Propera rather than owning the assets.
That's right. It's a non-asset business.
At least it is a balance between the two.
Yeah, I mean, look, assets are, the great thing about assets is they're actually secure and they're durable. I mean, real estate is particularly in Japan where you have this extraordinary ability to borrow kind of infinite amounts of money for free. But we understand at the end of the day, if you're going to have these kind of extraordinary kind of, U.S. and Chinese tech company returns, To move away, there's going to be a limit to our balance sheet. And so using our balance sheet productively is one way to grow value. And then outside of that, we want to have non-balance sheet activity because that's how we really, really kind of can grow our margins and our ROE. So it is a mixture of the two.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Thank you. Greg, go ahead again.
Yeah, just to follow up on things you mentioned, Propera, Scott. May I ask, did you your team develop this in-house, or did you work together with TIS or Fujitsu? And who would be selling this to third party? Are you using these two companies' Salesforce? Are you doing this in-house? Can you describe a little bit how you're thinking about this? Thank you.
Yeah, we actually and we disclosed this. Meaning there's some things we haven't disclosed, so I'm going to talk about But we have worked with Fujitsu on some of the core AI technology, but this is deeply proprietary. This is Ichigo. We have significant capability, which we hired. Build, buy, or lie. we built our own kind of capability in dynamic pricing in the hotel space. We bought the actual construction of the software platform itself we outsourced to an IT company, but it's now all run internally. And then the alliance part is we aligned with Fujitsu on using some of the core AI capabilities. But we are very confident that we are highly differentiated and highly capable. And in this space, we're generating kind of 20% plus uplifts in revenues. So that obviously has a multiplier effect in terms of NOI at our hotels and deploying the technology. We have hired our own people, Greg, for doing the external sales, and because you're on the right point that the IT system is available. We're actually doing more work to expand its capabilities. We've hit the market. We had we are now selling two versions of the system. One is Propera and one is Propera Lite. As we've come to understand that some people want a kind of a less featured product at a lower price point. It truly is, I think, one of the most exciting things that we're doing. So hopefully we're going to have the ability to, and we'll talk about this more, but we'll have the ability to kind of come to all of you 6 months, 12 months, 18 months and start telling you kind of some of the milestones that we've hit. Part of the reason we've been a little bit kind of, it's not that we've been secretive, we just haven't talked about it much, is very much kind of in development and rollout. We wanted to get into the market. We want to understand, are we succeeding? And it's become very obvious we have. We have a pipeline of customers potentially coming in. Hopefully we'll be able to speak to that also. I think it's very interesting. And as I say, primarily interesting because it's deeply proprietary. We are quite comfortable. We're advantaged and have our own capability that no one else has.
Understood. Thank you. And just as a kind of follow-up on that, and I guess that's more of a general industry question, but, you know, one of the consequences of COVID, as we all know, has been, you know, more digitalization and, you know, including through the, I guess, I think there are some efforts being done also in the real estate market to, you know, make things more digital, such as, you know, contracts, yeah. The pamphlet that explain the important things in Japanese, you know, the thing where you have to usually sit down face-to-face trying to get rid of that. I'm sorry, this is more a general question as opposed to Ichigo specific, but are you seeing some developments that are accelerating that's making the kind of real estate transaction world, the buy-buy business kind of more modern in a way, especially for residential, and how you guys, you know, trying to use those technology to accelerate kind of sales pitch with customers for Ichigo owners or... And one last point is, do you think that could be a threat for the, you know, the incumbents with very large kind of brokerage arms, which use a lot of, you know, manpower to do contracts and carry out sales? Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. There is what is going on in real estate is actually, from a technology perspective, very important. There have been... And COVID has been a huge driver. It's mostly still to come, meaning that there had been legal requirements, as you know, that require kind of face-to-face contract settlement, that requires kind of actual physical keeping of documents with the hunko stamp on it, et cetera. And that's kind of going away. So it hasn't happened quite yet, but it is the legal barriers are falling to digitalization. And that's very important. It's fantastically great. I mean, you know, to give you some sense of this, I mean, we're operating in a state of emergency today. We had a state of emergency last March. We have about 250 people at headquarters here at Ichigo. Last March, we pushed down hard on staff, but we were probably 80 people in the office. Today, I don't know, 15, something like that, on a day of earnings announcement. And that's in part because we have reshaped our IT platform and our business processes over the last year. It's been extraordinarily positive in terms of our ability to be productive and to be productive from all over the place. And this is even before these legal changes have come in. The incredibly kind of labor-intensive processes that are occurring are probably are good for the real estate industry and good for society because you're wiping away kind of inefficient practices. They're not good for employment in those parts of, you know, I mean, these jobs are going to go away, and so they have to be substituted with higher value jobs. Now, because there's a labor shortage in Japan, I think everyone ends up with a job, and so you end up kind of with a net social benefit. But it also, Greg, does allow for people like us who don't have these huge labor forces who are necessary to process all this stuff to enter. And it's not just us. I mean, other kind of companies are going to be kind of looking at these opportunities. So we think it's pretty exciting.
Understood. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Richard, go ahead. Thank you.
Hi. With regards to appraisal values and assessment of your properties, have you reviewed them post COVID-19? And is there a risk of impairments at the fiscal year end, or is it done? Is this appraisal process done continuously, or is this like by the end of February, some kind of a cutoff point where you reassess the appraisal values of your properties?
Let's see. There's a page that speaks to this on the presentation, page 37. Look, you know, we were very conservative, and we did a write down last fiscal year, what I mentioned mm-hmm. earlier, 8 billion yen. Of assets that we thought were potentially COVID vulnerable. So we're already done. You know, we've done some small investments in new enterprises in the last couple of years. We have a very small U.S. Hotel investment. It's a couple $1 million. You know, it could be vulnerable to impairments, but there's nothing material. Page 37 shows what the appraisers, the third-party appraisers, see for embedded gains. So they see about 50 billion yen, as I mentioned earlier. The balance sheet is just really solid. I mean, the right way to think about us, we think we have, you know, it's not that we're at risk of having losses. We think we have, on 100 billion yen worth of shareholder equity, we think we have at least 100 billion yen today in under COVID of unrealized gains. The right way to think about Ichigo is this big earnings bank, future earnings based on kind of the value add that we've done. Because, you know, our economic profits exceed our accounting profits. You don't have to worry about some bump in the dark that we're going to have something blow up. It's just, you know, it's just not our reality. We manage the balance sheet very conservatively. We are very fast to do write-downs. We think write-downs need to happen. And as a result, we have these, you know, these big embedded. We write down things that are potentially vulnerable. We don't write up anything because there's a lower cost amount of market accounting system. And so we have these huge embedded gains in the balance sheet.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Richard. Anything else? Happy to take questions or input. Otherwise, we will bring it to a close. Okay. Everybody, again, thank you. I think we're done. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be with you today. Everyone hang in there. Hopefully, the spring is coming. And again, we're grateful for the opportunity to work for you. Everybody, take care. Be safe.